Pray with me. Holy God, we come into your presence tonight, longing to hear from you, longing to be touched in a new way by your voice, by your word. As we hear these words from Scripture, would you, by the Holy Spirit, open our ears and our hearts and our minds to you? In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. A reading from Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 2 and 12 to 17. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet, even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the aged, gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? This is the word of the Lord.
Jumbo, good to see everyone. Welcome to Lent. Thank you so much. It's amazing just to be here, and I take this opportunity to appreciate this opportunity and just to say that we're happy to be part of this family. A story was shared to me about some athletes who were traveling to a certain destination for some international competitions. They had been flying for hours when suddenly the pilot made an unusual announcement. And here is the announcement. Hey guys, I wish to call your attention to some important news. I have some good news for you and some bad news for you. Everyone went silent and attentive. The good news is we are moving at a supersonic speed. Well, good news according to the pilot. The bad news is we are lost. Well, don't ask me what followed after that. You may probably want probably to guess. This shocking story keeps me thinking about the course that my life takes. Sometimes, I am not sure about you, but don't you think there are moments that our lives are driven at a supersonic speed? But we get lost at times on the cloud, just like the aeroplane that got lost. Don't you think that life calls sometimes for speedometers, brakes, and checks? It's unfortunate that sometimes we wait until too late to reflect. I wish to suggest that one critical life check is soul searching and repentance, turning back. We have heard stories of people who have to wait too long. Sometimes they have to repent at their deathbeds. Or maybe they are forced to repent when they find themselves in kind of a really crispy accident. It's just about to happen, and then they calling the Lord. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but it can be too late. Prophet Joel's series of laments full of imagery sounds a wake-up call, not just for Judah, but to the world. This guy is loud. Blow the trumpet in the city. Sound the alarm on the holy hill. A day is coming. He must be disturbed by some intensive, or rather insensitive lifestyle in his times. Whether a pre-exilic or a post-exilic prophet, I guess he is familiar with apostasy, idolatry, and an holy alliance, which I will call the common crimes of the time. He knows the religious compromises, the political injustices around. Maybe his father, Pethuel, told him the story of Rehoboam, Manasseh, Ahab, some of the wicked kings in the history. Being a prophet, there's no way he misses out on the history of God's people, Israel. He knows the bad news. The disobedience by Adam and separation of humanity at the fall. He knows it. He knows judgment by floods with Noah, disobedience, and death with Mosaic covenant. He has an idea of the rebel against theocratic rule and the consequences of anarchy at the time of the judges. And of course, the scriptures records a generation was born in the times of the judges, which did not recognize what God had done to their forefathers. The monarchical period is not different as well. I can see him picture some of God's instruments of judgment. Water, it has just been raining too much. Fire, thunder, you heard it last night. Locust, famine, and even the sword, the mighty army. Joel reminds us of our nature, fallen and depraved, always in need of God's mercy. His prophecy is not just historical, it is apocalyptic and eschatological too. He is certain of the coming judgment, the day of the Lord, whether it was the Babylonian rule, the Assyrian and the Medo-Persian, or the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or a day of calamity. This we have to control. We have no control about it. It's only God who knows when and what is happening and what can happen. I also love his good news. This guy has some good news as well. His name, Joel, means Jehovah Yahweh, the Lord is God. He must have read Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. His mercy extends to the fourth generation. He promised redemption through Genesis 3, the Protevangelium. The Mosaic covenant included God's blessing. He is a covenant God with his friend Abraham. Through him, all the people of the world will be blessed. We are part of that. His love and mercy has been felt all the time, even during the anarchical period. He is God who restores the years that has been eaten by the locust. He is able to restore. I appreciate the balance in his laments. The bad news and the good news too. The balance of judgment and grace. When my wife and Jessica came into the United States 5 months ago, we wanted to learn a few things. We just want to get to know around. And one place we wanted to go is Las Vegas. Well, every time we'll talk to people about Las Vegas and tell them we want to visit this place, everybody was like, Little did we know that this city has some story. Then someone was preaching in Fuller Chapel about the city of Nineveh. And I figured out, maybe we need a Jonah type preacher sent to Las Vegas. Or in this context particularly, we need a Joel type prophet. Well, in as much as anyone would imagine that Las Vegas needs a Joel type prophet
or say it is the city of Zion or Judah, or even Mutwapa City in Kenya, famous for commercial sexual exploitation, or any other city that you can imagine in the world. In as much as we think these places need to hear the message of Joel, I think the message of Joel is needed in my life. Maybe you too. This message speaks to the ego, to the self. It's a call to humility, submission, turning back. Talking about ego, for instance, if we were to take a selfie photo or picture, just right now we call over all of us and we come here and we do a selfie for everyone, and then I ask all of you to come forward and have a look at it. What exactly will you be looking at? What will you focus on? That's exactly what I will do. Talking about ego. Even when we think that we are in good standing and we are humble Christian, we need this message of Joel. Talking about humility, my professor would say, if you think you're humble, then you're not. You're not supposed to be humble to an extent that you know that you're humble. That's what he says. Humility, then, is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. The focus is not you. The focus is not me. Humility will make me and you reflect on how we repent. And even repent, empowered, how we do repentance, how we repent. Maybe it calls us to examine our motives regarding missions and how we do church, justice, and ask ourselves the question of, why do I do what I do? I remember my wife and I leading a team to a church planting mission in a predominantly Islamic and traditional religion, low-income community in Kilifi, coastal Kenya. There were a few sponsored kids there, and we just went there to help. We did home visits, we did meetings with women, we did meetings with men and children and youth. And I remember at some point we even had to shoot the Jesus film in Swahili. And before we left the place, we planted a church. When we went home, we kind of felt, oh, we've done something. And we kept on thinking, we took Jesus to these people. We carried Jesus from wherever we were and took him to these people. Little did we realize that Jesus already existed there in these people. Actually, those people were born. I mean, they bore his image, Imago Dei. We later realized mission is actually an opportunity to experience Jesus in a new way. It was humbling just to realize that. We may have played Messiah to those people, but God gave us an opportunity to reflect and to turn back and to ask for forgiveness. If we tried to do ministry with low-income and vulnerable families in Kenya, and this is something that probably we've just been learning, one critical concern that has always been coming to us has been, does the ministry provide a safe and secure space for the vulnerable? Are they safe? Do people feel safe? I'm sorry to say, sometimes they don't feel safe even in church. No wonder Joel calls the priests and the elders to lead the assembly of repentance. When they realize we are vulnerable too, when people realize we are vulnerable, they find their safety. They repent as well. Same case with non-believers. Some of the benefits of repentance. Prophet Isaiah would say, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Even though your sins are red as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Again, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Apostle Paul would say, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. The writer of Hebrews, I will forgive their wickedness, God says, and will remember their sins no more. Isn't that amazing? Joel says, restoration will come your way and jubilee will be there for you to celebrate. And of course, Peter quotes Joel in the book of Acts. Here is a season to stop and get away, to reflect and soul search. Maybe you need some 8 hours at Dolorosa. It could be a dinner talk, maybe because it's also powerful to confess to one another. You need a dinner talk with someone just to confess. Or could be a pillow talk, maybe with your spouse, just to confess. It's not just an event, like in these 40 days, but I would say it is a lifestyle. Tutavua mapambo yetu, vitu vyote vya dhamani, mioyo yetu twaleta mbele zako, tutakase utembee nazi. We take off our ornaments and everything that we value. We bring our hearts to you, God. Cleanse us and walk with us. Amen.